shorts and bag.
That's a nasty looking finger, lady.
You got the bait?
What? No.
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
We made you.
Welcome back, Interweb friends. This is Stop the Movie I Want to Get Out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. And quick disclaimer before this week's episode, if you haven't seen Elves, 1989's Elves, pause. It's widely available on YouTube. It is worth it. I don't want to, I'm not trying to jump to our final judgments, but like, it is worth it. You can listen to us talk about it, but this is well worth it. Yes. I'm Alex Dunbar. I'm so excited for the quotes of this movie. I'm here as always with Cody Wolf.
I'm not a pervert. I like seeing naked girls.
Jack Estabrook.
As far as elves are concerned, there are two schools of thought. One, the Nazis experimented with elves as assassination teams. Small, easily hidden, silent, vicious. They have magical powers. They can't be hurt or killed. They eat anything. They're a perfect soldier. Problem is, there's no such thing. Theory number two.
Slow fade out.
The elves were a genetic engineering experiment. Now, I like this one better. It mixes science and the occult. The Nazis did have some...
That was a great scene. Christy Swarm.
I had a bad day. Santa got murdered.
And Nick Neward.
Forget about it, Jake. It's Nazi occult town.
This is, it's kind of like someone watched Chinatown and then Alta was terrible. Yeah.
They took Roman Polanski and made him creepier.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think the only way to approach this movie is to dive right in. I mean, I will give the preface of this movie was released theatrically in 1989.
Yes.
I demand proof.
And then it didn't
Pixar
make
didn't
it.
Happen.
I know. And then didn't make it to home video until 1994.
I'm surprised it did at all.
But
I assumed it was direct-to-video.
I assume elves did it.
It's stunning that it took that long, because those early 90 years were such like a boom town for home video. Like the need for content, you know, Blockbuster was blowing up. Mm-hmm. Anything that had a moving image was going to go to home video. And that it took 5 years for a video distributor to say, oh, okay, we're going to distribute a horror movie that features two known actors, says a lot about how crazy this movie is.
I want to put out a request to the world. If anyone out there actually saw this in the theater, I want to hear from you.
Yeah.
I want you to please contact us and tell us why, A, you went to the theater, and B, did you get your money back?
And what the rest of your life has been like since that day. I mean, like, this would be scarring, I think, for people to see.
I'm scarred.
Yeah.
I would like someone to find an answer print that we can use, or even the original negative, so we can get, like, a digital restore on this 4K.
Oh, this screams Criterion Collection all the way.
Yeah. Well, actually, I was just looking into it. As far as I can tell, there's never been a DVD release of this.
That's shocking.
As soon as you said the VHS boom of the early 90s, I thought, oh, well, God. I mean, everything got a DVD release in the early 2000s, but I only see VHS options. So for $40, if you want a VHS copy of this.
Isn't it great that even like Shout Factory and Scream are just like, no, no.
I would probably pay $40 to never have to watch this movie again.
Yeah.
Or to get back the hour and a half of my life that felt like a week.
I think I'm going to watch it every Christmas for the remainder of my life.
Yeah, I want to know who holds the rights to the movie, actually. That's my curiosity now.
I would be curious about that.
Ooh, maybe we could collectively buy the rights and it could be a first Stop the Movie if it's in public domain.
Maybe Dan Haggerty has the rights. And much like Grizzly Adams, he's out in the woods. No one can find him.
The rights are in a digital wilderness. Yeah.
But I will say that I kind of, spoiler alert, love this movie. Because it's insane. Not like this is a good movie way, but like this is so insane. I liked it. I still have no idea what was happening in the last 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to have to walk me through it.
It's not. Well, and the final five or six minutes is like, no, this, I mean, this definitely doesn't make sense at all. Yeah. Not that the rest of the movie makes sense. I'm just saying like that final five or six, we just go off the cliff.
I got nervous too, because it was like the end of the movie. Like, they destroy the elf, whatever. Not that it's a huge
Do
spoiler.
They? Oh, but, I don't know. Go ahead, yeah.
But then I looked at the timer on my YouTube, and it said there's still, like, 14 minutes. I was like, how is there still 14 minutes?
Luckily,
there
was, like... blue screen.
Yeah, luckily, it was just, like, a VHS blue screen for 14 minutes. But I got worried. I'm like, how can there be more of this movie?
Is that the post-credit stinger, just blue?
So, I actually looked at IMDb before seeing this movie, which I don't typically do for this podcast. But the IMDb summary says something to the effect of a woman discovers she's the focus of a Nazi genetic plot involving elves. When she and two friends get trapped in a department store overnight, it's up to a loose cannon Santa to save the day, or something like that. Well, so then when the Nazis show up at the supermarket or the department store, I thought, oh, good, climactic battle. There's got to be like 20 minutes left of this movie tops. I hit pause. There was an hour left. I wanted to shoot myself right then and there. I'm like, I can't do this.
It took me 5 hours to get through this. I watched it, pause. Go. There's how much time left?
I almost watched it twice.
I started Friday and finished yesterday, but. I didn't read that synopsis, so when Nazis showed up, I was very surprised.
This movie surprised me at least a dozen times.
Yeah, and this movie surprises you even when you're like, nothing can surprise me. This movie has set the bar so high, nothing can surprise me. It will then continue to surprise you.
When she killed the elf, though, I'll get to it later, but that surprised me again.
Yeah.
I guess I love this movie.
All right, so let's dive in. The movie...
By the way, are there more than one elf in this movie?
No. Okay. This is factually incorrect title.
Because I saw one elf throughout the
There's
the
one
movie.
Elf.
One facial expression.
There might be.
At the end, yeah, that's right.
Well, and there's references that there could be others. Like, but we've seen misleading titles. Abduction, maybe most famously. a movie that doesn't really feature an abduction, or the only abduction that happens really is like when the hero abducts a girl. But this is just factually incorrect. It's called Elves, and there's an elf in the movie.
And it's not even an elf. He's like a troll.
In fact, they call him a troll many times.
Yeah. I was expecting like an elf, like maybe monstrous looking, but dressed up in like an elf's costume.
Yeah.
Killing people with candy canes or something. I mean, not this.
I really wanted to know if people could see the elf clearly sometimes, but like when he's stalking the pervert that. Santa, I feel like he's just walking down an open hallway and... there's no one that sees him or something like that?
And even when the mom is killed late in the movie, it's like, how did you not see this?
That was a raccoon.
Or a ninja troll. Yeah.
Or the cat.
Well, and then
she knew it couldn't be the cat.
Well, and then at one point, somebody says, no, the troll did have the cat. The troll was holding the cat.
We'll get there.
All right. So it starts with three high school-ish age girls in very 80s fashion.
The sisterhood ladies of all Anti-Christmas.
Yes. Yeah. We convene the Sisters of Anti-Christmas. But it gives us no background on why these girls feel this way. One of the girls
she
is
didn't
open
get enough
to me
presents.
Like,
is that what it was?
That's what she said.
But one
she
of the
seems
girls
to dislike Christmas throughout the whole, and it's just because she didn't get enough presents one year.
Unless that was just her defense mechanism.
But they never go into why the main character hates Christmas.
Yeah.
Except some vague like it hasn't snowed. Like that's it.
I was fascinated by how did this start for these three girls and who upgraded it to a ritual? You know, at what point did they say, yeah,
hating
we need
Christmas
to bump this
drug.
Up? Yeah.
Not every group has that person that like just wants to make a new tradition.
Yeah. And then one of the girls is like, no, you guys, I just thought you were going to help me find out how to get with Dave. I'm like, what?
The dialogue for these girls in this movie just shook my head at them so many times. I think the two friends probably have like five lines that aren't about having sex.
Okay, yeah. So I was thinking about this.
And those lines are consist entirely of totally.
Yeah.
Far out.
Pretty much.
This
or eye rolls.
This movie reminded me of when former podcaster Andy Wolf directed a movie.
I was thinking about it.
And wrote dialogue for teenagers because he thought that's how teenagers spoke.
Yes.
Even though I was a teenager at the time and told him this is not how teenagers speak.
I know no one who has a better finger on the pulse than Andy Wolf.
Swiggity swag was my bag.
I'm not going to lie. Andy Wolf's name went through my brain at least a dozen times when I saw this film.
Well, yeah, it was.
Because but that's what the dialogue was like. There's a scene, the scene where he's looking at his sister, which is like...
Oddly enough, that was the first time it came up.
But there was a scene in his movie, my father's movie, that I argued with him about. He's like, no, this is what you would do. And I was like, no, that's not what you would do. But that's what I thought of when I was watching the movie. This is the director or the writer, whoever, must have just been like, no, this is how teenage girls talk.
This is a middle-aged man being like, I know how teen girls talk.
Because teen boys probably talk about sex all the time, so teen girls must too.
Yeah.
My comparison that I was thinking of was there was a whole plot in Dawson's Creek where Dawson... recruits his friends to shoot this horror movie that he wrote and he's directing in their backyard. That's what this felt like to me.
Yeah, yeah, but with like money, like
not enough, like scary.
Yeah. So they kind of start doing this ritual. It doesn't really come together. We get the first time in watching this movie where my jaw dropped, where the one of the main girl pulls out a drawing and goes and shows it to her friends and goes, "I dreamed of these Art Deco boobs."
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Aren't they cool? I like, it was like Warner Brothers cartoon-esque. Like, my eyes are like, what are you doing?
And the fact that that comes back later is insane. Yeah. But it was basically a drawing of a woman, a topless woman, and there's like just rectangles surrounding her breasts. I was like, I don't understand what that means. Like, how's that Art Deco boob? Like, I didn't understand... how that was a dream and then she felt like drawing it.
Well, that's what I at that point where I was like, okay, we've tipped from middle-aged man writing dialogue for teenage girls to like a disturbed middle-aged man writing dialogue for teenage girls. And they kind of bail on the ceremony. Well,
okay, something happens here. I don't understand.
She gets cut and then her blood hits the ground.
Yeah, because they were holding a candle in a glass bowl.
Yeah.
And like I couldn't quite tell how the bowl broke.
It started, well, because it like started going out or something. One of them goes to the candle, and then they all like lunge for the candle at the same time and like break it.
Yeah.
And I was like, why are you so concerned about this candle? This felt
very birthday cake in, what's See No Evil to me, where you're like, wait, what? Yeah. Like, how did this happen?
Right. Yeah. It's like, why'd you all lunge for the candle? I wasn't going to burn anything down. You're in the middle of the woods.
So then they just kind of bail, but a fully formed rubber hand comes out of the ground. And we're led to believe that this ceremony was somehow successful.
Yes. See, I didn't think there was any kind of ceremony. I just assumed it was her blood hitting the ground.
Because it had the book.
The granddad daddy says that you're not supposed to go in the woods. So why? But then he also says you're not supposed to touch my books. So they get the seance from the book. And she's in the woods, so I thought it was the seance that brought him back, and the blood was like
I assumed that he was in the woods. A visual callback.
But it has to be, because this whole thing was, spoiler alert, like a Nazi experiment, so why would there be like an elf buried in the woods that she brought back to life with her blood, you know what I mean?
I don't know.
So it must have been the book, because she has this book that her wheelchaired German grandfather.
Oh, when she comes home, and her... elderly grandfather slaps her across the face
from a wheelchair.
Wheelchair.
I think she's got a black eye in the rehearsal show.
And then immediately says, I'm sorry, I worry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you should worry about her. You're slapping
her. And then he says, twice, though. Ooh, you cut your hand. Can we wash it together?
It was so creepy. So creepy.
That is just the beginning of his creepiness.
Yeah.
But so he's like this old German guy, but he's got like the worst German accent I've ever heard. Like in this scene it was okay, but then later on he just totally like loses it.
Until I realized he was a Nazi, I thought he was like a gypsy.
Okay.
And that kind of, he was trying to
vaguely.
He's Eastern European. Like
He's got
knowledge of occult stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it turns out he's a Nazi. I'm like, oh, that was a German accent.
Yeah.
Well, I thought he was going to be like the good guy. I thought he was going to be like the Van Helsing guy.
After he slapped her twice.
Yeah. Well,
sometimes you
got until the slap. Any chance to be a good guy later on.
Until the slap.
Yeah.
He was on screen for like 3 minutes before the slap.
No, that was his first. That was like three frames. He comes in the frame.
He comes in.
He literally comes in.
That's it. That's his character introduction of an elderly man.
Who the hell is this guy?
Violently hitting his granddaughter.
He's full of vim and vigor. I like him.
He's full of something.
We then get to meet her mom.
Who's even worse than her grandfather.
Who comes in with the line of, are you hurt? Good.
She made it be less sympathetic than the Nazi.
Also, the pause that you just gave that line is about twice as long as it is in the movie. It's like, are you hurt? Good.
Yeah.
Like, all one sentence, didn't even wait for a reply.
Yeah. It was like a script reading.
Yeah. I start making notes here, too. I'm like, this girl's life is grim. Yeah. I mean, this
no, is... she hates Christmas.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but, like, I'm amazed... she just doesn't hate life. I mean, this is like a real dystopian, like awful world she's living in. Yeah.
If I were her mom, I would probably be pretty miserable too. Given what we find out
what
later.
What we find out later. But I don't know why she would take it. The mom seems to take it out on the daughter.
And she has I would
be
like,
you should be taking this out on the grandfather. Yeah. Like,
and she doesn't have any redemption later on. Like,
she's basically
For treating that way. You know, there's no...
Right, where the grandfather actually seems to try to get some redemption. I mean, it's
he's way
ridiculous.
Beyond that.
So her punishment for going out with her friends to the woods is the mom is like, I'm taking all the money in your bank account.
It's very harsh.
It seemed really extreme.
Yeah.
And it also, I kept being like, well, maybe that's going to come back somehow, but it doesn't. It's like, no, it's just a cash grab. Yeah. I'm like, mom's just taking all your dough.
Right. And it's not like, oh, this is allowance I've given you, so now I'm taking it back. It was money she earned because she has a job. We find out in the next scene.
Right. Yeah.
So she just steals her money.
Well, but before we even get to the next scene, we get the next scene that like literally popped my eyes out of my head as I was like, what is happening?
The scene is where I was like, I might like this movie because it was so insane.
It was so where she goes to take a shower and her brother is spying. At first I was like, why is a kid spying on her? This is weird. It's her brother. She busts him. And I had to write down the dialogue here. He goes, hey, I like naked girls. She goes, I'm your sister. And she literally says it like that. Like, this is ridiculous. And his line is, yeah, but you have big tits, and I'm going to tell everyone.
I'm going to tell everybody I saw them.
And this is not the most concerning scene involving incest in this movie.
No,
it's not.
Yeah, even when the sister then playfully wrestles with her brother on the bed, it is not
the most concerning incest. Because the kid is swearing like a sailor in a sailor, which is insane and funny.
Yeah.
Because then he's like...
I swear like a wounded pirate, and even I was like, kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Calm down.
Yeah, because then at the end of the scene, he's like, mom said she's going to give me all your money, so F you.
I was like, no. Why?
I'm also wondering where the brother came from, given the family tree.
Yeah.
I was thinking that last night, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, yeah. What's his
deal?
His relationship
with
family.
Yeah.
Is there another... It was fascinating to me by the end of the movie that they never answered that of, is there... another dad? Like, did the mom...
I did notice the mom had a wedding ring on.
Okay.
So, I don't know if there was a quote-unquote father, but if I was... But if did the quote-unquote father keep the secret, too? Because I would assume he met the mom while she was already pregnant.
Isn't it weird that the daughter never asked about this? Like, in that climactic conversation, that at no point she was like... So what's the deal with my brother? Like,
yeah. Well, I'm assuming that there was a father and that he did actually die, that she just thought it was her father, that's why.
She must have grown up assuming that the guy that died was her father.
Yeah.
They were saving it for the sequel. It's to build up the elves mythos.
Elves.
Elves.
Yeah. I guess we should mention, too, she has a cat named Agamemnon.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Who she talks with. And... who is part of a crucial scene in the movie, though the cat is not
very
important
disturbing
to the movie.
End.
Yeah.
And my cat and I had a very awkward moment watching that together.
I bet. And we start getting elf vision now, and it's probably worth
mentioning. Well, because mentioning. The elf is crawled out of the dirt and has been spying on her, like, through the window.
Right.
That's already begun, yeah.
But his elf vision, it was hard to watch this because we're already watching a VHS dub that was digitized
to
YouTube.
Yeah.
And elf vision is very blurry, I guess. That seems to be... I mean, elves have terrible eyesight.
It's
based
like a
live-action
pastel painting, almost.
Yeah.
You see smears.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He really just needs to, like, wipe his eyes from that goob.
Well, you know, he just crawled out of the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. You're an elf. You don't know what's going on.
But it never goes away. Even later on in the movie. He's been out of the ground for a while now.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Maybe it's just a bad movie.
And he attacks the brother while the brother is sleeping.
Yeah.
Leading to my favorite line when, like, the mom or the sister comes in and is like, hey, what's going on? And he goes, it was a fucking... It was a fucking little ninja man.
I believe it was a very brave, bold decision by the filmmakers to allow the 9-year-old to ad-lib all his dialogue.
times. I laughed so hard at it. And it's not played for comedy.
It's no, like, it's not.
Yeah.
It's like the little kid is in danger.
Yeah. And that's
well, he was wearing I don't know if you noticed, he was wearing Ninja Turtles shirt.
I did see that.
The ninjas are on his mind.
He was explaining about it. And then there's like a weird line where when the mom comes in, she says something, or there's like some weird conversation with her with the daughter with her friends where they're like, what's going on with your mom? Like, she's mean. And she's like, is she really your mom? And the daughter's
they call her, they're like, oh, your stepmom's a bitch or something. She's like, no, my mom. They're like, what? She's like, she's my mom. She's like, which this scene was bizarre, but I guess I know why later on they did it. Because she's like, no. They're like, oh, she's so young or something. She's like, yeah, she had me when she was 16.
I think they did that because they wanted to cater to the ego of the actress who was playing the mom. Well, so I'm like, no, that mom seems age-appropriate.
She's way too young.
Or it was a sort of an unnecessary conversation.
It was, and I looked...
But
I
it makes like, it creepier later on when you find out.
Yeah.
I guess it does.
To reinforce that. I don't know.
I guess it does. I also looked it up because I'm like, well, what is the age difference between the mom? I'm like, no, the mom was like 51 when she shot the movie. So I'm like, oh,
and
okay.
And also, I have comments about that later, too.
Yeah, well, yeah. All right, I'm just... Oh, and okay, so we now get Grizzly Adams enters the movie, Dan Haggerty.
Yes.
Can
we talk about this?
He's horrendous there, too.
Can we talk about this
and he's
Salvation
still
Army?
Mr. Charisma.
Can we talk about the Salvation Army band that's playing real instruments, but it's clearly like a Casio keyboard?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like it's... Like they couldn't just record them, like, live... that always bothers me. I'm sorry, I had to bring that up.
Well, and Dan Haggerty, I mean, to say he's in low energy in this movie doesn't describe it.
He's so chill,
I mean, it's barely like walking through.
He's channeling the dude.
Yeah,
basically. Yeah, even when people are like yelling at him, he's like, "Hey, just you know."
Were they implying that he's really Santa Claus?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. I just think
like he just takes on that role. Like he's very gentle and kind and like wants to protect people, particularly young people. And
I think they're applying
murder that guy later on.
That's you know, that was more like he didn't just randomly Santa like go after him.
I think they're implying that the girl never took the time to ask that guy, like, hey man, what's your name?
Well, no, because later on he says, I'm Mike, by the way, and she says, if you don't mind, I'd rather just keep calling you Santa.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
That's also creepy,
yeah,
in its own way.
Yeah, although given the issues this girl is dealing with, it's like if that's your coping mechanism, like, cool. Your life has been pure drama. Grizzly Adams is, like, so desperate for a job at this department store.
Well, he seems to have a familiarity with the owner. Like, he used to work there. He was a security guard, and he messed up, and he quit.
Store detective.
Oh, yeah. Because
one of the lines that I almost said for the beginning round was... You're not a detective anymore, Mike. You're not even a store detective. Because he actually says that.
I laughed at that.
Because I think at one point he was a real detective. And then he got fired for being a drunk. So he was a store detective. And then he got fired for being a drunk. So now he's just
like
unemployed.
Like a forested detective.
Begging to be a mall Santa.
But he's really desperate. The manager's like, no, man. Like, I'm not hiring you. And Grizzly, it's almost like this is like a factory town where this department store is the only place anybody can work, and there's no other options.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, all right. And somewhere in here, I think we're getting to the scene Nick alluded to, where the mom, doesn't like the cat.
Yeah. So when the kid gets attacked by the elf,
she thinks it's the cat.
The cat saves him.
Yeah, but even though
cat,
she's in
but
on it.
The cat scratches the elf, or scratches the kid
or something. He gets the
on
elf
on his back when he was laying on his back.
Yeah, I don't know if it was the cat or it was the elf.
It's the elf, and she's blaming the cat, but she's in on the elf thing, which we find out later. So really, she kills this cat for no reason, except to, you know, stick it to her daughter.
Well, she doesn't know about the elf at that point.
But she's in on it, so presumably she knows about the plot.
Yeah,
in
but
general.
She thinks this is fucking ninja goblin.
Maybe she doesn't think the elf has been resurrected.
I don't think she truly believes any of that. I think it.
Oh, she's messed up because she's been like abused and she's unaware that what the grandfather is saying is real.
I think the mom thinks that she's part of this like crazy train conspiracy. I don't think she thinks the conspiracy is actually working.
Oh, she hasn't had the Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Okay. I think she's just like, oh my God, this is nuts, you know.
She got something, but not the Kool-Aid. She did get drugged.
Yeah. Yes.
So she, because the cat attacked her kid, she just doesn't like the cat, she doesn't like her daughter, she takes the cat and drowns it in the toilet.
which we see.
It's just like a pretty brutal scene.
This doesn't happen off camera.
I hate to laugh out loud about it.
I was like, which is intercut with the store Santa at the department store.
Oh, man. I have to say that. I have to talk about this.
The girls are going to go visit Santa.
I don't even remember the girls. Does anyone remember
hate
this
Santa?
Girl's name?
Kirsten.
The main girl is
Kirsten, yeah.
Kirsten is like the main
Diana
girl.
Diana Bridge or something. But so Kirsten's like, I'm bored. Let's go goof with Santa. So they go to...
Worth noting, by the way, that her friends are kind of like, really? Yeah. Like, and Kirsten's like, no, we got to go mess with Santa.
Because this is what she's been looking forward to all day.
Because she's taking out her anger on Christmas. Because so her family's messed up.
So they go, they stand in line to sit on Santa's lap. And so she gets to Santa and sits on his lap. And she's kind of flirting with him over. And he's like rubbing her leg. And she's like, oh... Can you make it not Christmas? And he's like, what are you talking about? He's like, oh, can you make it snow? And he just goes, oral. And she's like, what did you say? And it cuts to his lips, like close up to her hair. He goes, Santa said oral. I laughed so freaking hard at that.
I started
because the way it's delivered is amazing.
Yeah. I started to feel like, I hope that the guy who wrote and directed this is on some kind of like, monitoring from like law enforcement or like you know that there's some kind of tracking going on here
I
started thinking of in Seven when they like it's revealed that the FBI can like is monitoring who checks certain books out of the library, that this guy's on one of those like secret FBI watch lists.
One other really strange thing about that mall Santa is, did anybody notice the skirt on the Mrs. Claus or Elf or whatever, like Santa's helper character? This is a department store with kids, and that was the shortest skirt I think I've ever seen anyone wear.
Yeah, it's barely even a skirt. It almost looks like a 50s bathing suit skirt.
Yeah.
You know,
And this is a department store with kids.
Kids in this town, you know, talk like sailors.
Well, that's true.
They've obviously seen some stuff.
It's that idea of like you write what you know, and I'm like, I want to know what this guy knows. What does this guy know?
The entire scene is, just, I mean, and so much of this movie is just clearly not even just the middle-aged man writing what he thinks teenage girls act like and talk like. I think a middle-aged man writing what he wants teenage girls to act like and talk like.
Yes.
Santa said oral.
So
then it cuts to like him getting yelled at by the store manager. I thought he was getting fired.
I thought he was getting fired too. But he was not getting fired.
No.
Amazingly.
So he like storms off and goes to like a storeroom or something and he's like doing coke.
Sure. It's the 80s.
And then the elf stabs the elf stabs him in his testicles. But he's coughing up blood.
Because
those that's two the international sign for something's wrong. Dying. Coughing up blood.
A police officer later says that his...
He confirms it.
His balls are actually cut off. I'm like, why? Why is the elf...
Because he's a dirty old man. Not a dirty young man.
So is the elf the hero of this movie? Like,
I don't know. Yeah, at the end, I didn't know.
I actually spent a little while thinking, you know, before the Nazis show up, I was thinking, okay, so the elf doesn't exactly seem like the villain right now. You know, he attacked her brother, but he attacked her brother because her brother was being creepy.
That's true, And then he goes after the mall Santa for being a creeper.
So for a little bit, I was thinking, okay, who is the villain of this movie?
Right.
In some ways, the elf, at this point in the story, the elf is like an early version of a Me Too prosecutor. You know, he's like, nope, I'm bringing social justice to this world. Until then, the elf becomes a monster.
Yeah.
But so then they cut back to.
Was anyone else? I'm sorry to stop at this point. Maybe it is the right word. I'm disappointed that this is an elf. So one would imagine it's a monster with supernatural powers, right?
Would anyone want to
watch the Wolfman if the Wolfman killed people with a gun? He's got claws. He's got super strength. Right. The elf just sneaks up on people and stabs him with a knife.
Like
the elf uses a knife to kill people.
That's not
even
wondering.
What Cody said earlier about like candy canes would even be more appropriate. It was sort of a letdown. I was like, okay, stab this guy with a knife.
Fashions them into toys.
Oh yeah, anything like that.
Yeah,
look Christmas what they lights. Did to Santa. Yes. He's a train set.
Strangle him with Christmas lights would be cool.
Yeah.
Nope. Uses radios in bathtubs and.
He just sort of uses like a little switchblade knife thing and.
Yeah.
It's pretty lame.
Yeah. Although the. That does give us the image of the rubber hand reaching for the knife.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's classic.
Yeah. It's just...
That's classic.
That's one thing about this elf is it's like, the design of the elf isn't terrible for, I'm assuming this is a pretty cheap movie, but it doesn't move.
Like, the execution
doesn't move. It's basically just like a doll that they kind of like
move towards the camera, or, you know,
You mean in how the elf's mouth never opens closes? It just is that same.
Yeah.
Right. So they go back to the store manager, and he's like waiting for Santa. He's like, "Where is he? Why? Go check on him." It's like, "I thought you just fired him." Apparently, he wasn't fired.
Yeah.
But then he yells at the girl. He yells at the girl too, like, "I should fire you too." Because she was sexually harassed by this creeper. I'm going to fire you too.
She was asking for it. She sat on his lap.
It was bizarre.
That's basically what the manager is saying.
Yes. Like,
so they go check on Santa, and he's been killed.
Yes.
And the police come. The police start treating the girl like the suspect in the crime. They're like, "Hey, this guy was creeping on you. Now he's dead."
Despite the entire mall full of witnesses that saw her not follow the Santa.
She was standing with the store manager the entire time.
Yeah, in a public place. Right. Yeah. I think she's being accused of essentially like building a Rube Goldberg-like contraption to kill a mall Santa. And then we find out Dan Haggerty. I mean, if the girl's life is grim, Dan Haggerty's is rough too. I think he was evicted from a van down by the river. Is that
basically what happens?
Okay.
Like, I was confused. Did he just lose his keys?
Oh, that's right.
No, there was actually an eviction notice.
Was there? Yeah. I thought I literally got
evicted from the Airstream.
I don't know.
I literally thought he got locked out of his trailer. Thankfully, once he was convicted, Chris Farley's Matt Foley was able to move in, and comedy history was born.
Yeah, because I literally thought he just was like drunk and lost his keys and couldn't get into his.
No, there was a sign on the door.
I didn't
get off my land or I will kill you.
Who got this corridor? Who is like, "Oh, I gotta get this guy out of this van"?
It was like a low-budget notice of eviction. It was literally just a piece of paper that said notice of eviction. It wasn't like, it didn't look like a real legal document. Yeah. No, just, it was like somebody typed up notice of eviction and hit print.
And that Dan Haggerty then was like, "Well, I was a detective. I think this is binding. I've got to..."
Yep.
Is this where we then start to get the knight in the... Okay, this is where the elf attacks the girl?
So...
Is that where I'm...
I get... Wait, I'm trying to remember. Yeah, there was some weird scene, but it's like...
They're all weird scenes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but it's like she's like asleep or something, right?
Yeah, she's asleep,
And he like puts her fingers in his mouth or something.
Yeah.
No, isn't that...
Or was that later?
That's later on when he starts to eat the dead body of her friend.
Oh, okay. I was like on my phone at that time.
Oh, this is okay. I know.
It took a lot for me to keep focus on this movie.
This is the one where the girl kind of gets attacked by the elf, and like but it ends up with the mother and the grandfather having a conversation where the grandfather.
Isn't this when she doesn't get attacked? The elf digs up her cat. Because the elf hears her calling for the cat, so the elf digs up her cat and like throws it against her window.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Okay. Cool elf.
Yeah.
And then the mom and the
gifts.
He's trying. He's like, she's asking for this cat.
He puts in more effort than any of the teenage boys in this movie.
That's true. And then the mom and the grandfather have that conversation where the grandfather's like, somehow the grandfather references this vast conspiracy theory, and the mom's like, "You and your damn elves." And then he's like, "No," and he's like, "I think it was the cat, or the elf killed the cat." And she's like, "No. The raccoon may have dragged it to the window, but I killed it."
She's so proud of herself.
Yeah.
She really is.
She's a sociopath.
She says it like 3 times. "I killed the cat."
Yeah, she really wants the grandfather to know. She doesn't want any confusion.
Capable of murder.
Yeah. We get my favorite image from this movie, which is Dan Haggerty is eating breakfast at the diner in the department store. Mm-hmm. Did anyone notice what he's having for breakfast? It's a carton of Camel
cigarettes.
Carton of Camels on the table.
Is that product placement?
I don't know. It's so weird.
No, I think that was Dan Haggerty's salary for the
movie. And the manager comes up and is like, "Hey, do you still want a job?" And Dan Haggerty's like, "Do I? Let me grab these camels."
This is my life savings.
He's got a 12-pack-a-day habit he's got to support.
Yeah. He does meet Kirsten here, too.
He says,
"Why do you hate Christmas?" And she's like, "My cat's dead." And he says, "Oh, my dog died when I was a boy and I was awful sore." And I'm like, what does this have to do with anything?
It like turns into a competition between them over who had a worse day.
Well, and it
had a pretty bad day.
I was just saying, if it's a competition for whose life is worse, I mean, the girl wins, but
she doesn't know yet.
Yeah, she doesn't know yet, but his life is pretty bad.
Yeah.
So it's funny because
As soon as Dan Haggerty comes to this movie, I'm like, okay, he's going to be Santa Claus at the department store.
I wanted him right. So
I'm like, he looks like Santa Claus. And so in the afternoon job, I was like, okay, it makes sense. He got the beard. So then they cut to him as Santa Claus, and he has a fake beard over his beard.
Yeah.
And I was like, why the hell would you put a beard on his Santa beard?
Yeah. I liked when he went back into the workroom and there's a chalk outline.
Oh my God. And he's talking.
And he talks to him.
I didn't even think it was chalk. I think it was masking.
He did look like masking. Yeah.
And then you get the line where he sees this weird symbol on the floor and he's like, oh, I'm not a detective anymore.
But did he say like that looks awfully familiar or something?
Yeah, he did say it looks familiar, which I was like, okay.
Well, later on they try to imply that it's a twist on a different symbol, but it's not.
No.
You take, you know,
yeah,
any right. strong leap the, to the, get there.
They never establish
Art Deco leap.
Yeah. That's right. Right.
Maybe if it were superimposed over a breast, you'd be like, aha!
Now I know why it seems familiar. I've been dreaming of Art Deco boobs. and we get this one of many crazy scenes where like a current modern day Nazi comes to visit the grandfather.
But at this point, we don't know that they're Nazis.
I guess. I figured.
I
have a German guy.
I thought
movie.
They were like.
Yeah.
You got a German guy
was,
in a movie.
Seriously. Yeah. Maybe I wasn't paying that close attention. But at this stage of the game, I thought that these were like government agents who were trying to suppress the knowledge of the elf. Like maybe the elf was part of some experiment and this guy in the wheelchair screwed up covering it up somehow. The movie was so bad that, I mean, that wasn't...
That
was
might make a better movie, though.
Yeah, yeah. That actually would be a better movie.
I assume there were Men in Black is what I thought they were supposed to be.
Yeah, but... And they kind of reference it involves... whatever's going on involves the granddaughter. Like, that gets referenced in the scene that the granddaughter is a part of whatever this foolishness is.
I got infuriated at one line in this scene. Because I can't... One thing about this movie I was going to say is that I like that they just go there. Wherever they want to go, they just go there. Full force.
The actors don't,
this film is not afraid.
Well, the actors, no, they don't
This
go
film
anywhere.
Has a lot of courage.
But the one line in here that I can't believe they did it was, when there is no more room in hell, the elves will walk the earth. Yeah. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
My jaw did drop in that one.
Yeah. I don't know if you've ever seen Dawn of the Dead, but...
I haven't. Okay, so
the line from Dawn of the Dead is when there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk the earth.
Got it.
They they said the line with elves, and I was like,
yep.
Is that a joke?
See how that
I don't know.
You.
Yeah. I was like, so stupid.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was like supposed to be a lie. It was so blatant, though. It was like, I don't know if it was supposed to be a joke.
Or maybe a reference.
A tribute.
Maybe a tribute. I mean, because a lot of this movie happens in a mall. I mean, maybe they were, maybe they were trying to reference.
Yeah. I don't think it was an homage or a tribute. I think it was just a straight up rip off.
That's a good line. If we add the word elves, I think, you know.
I could watch the footage of Dan Haggerty researching occult symbols in a library forever. This just felt like what I'm sure it was pad. Like, they had to get this movie to, like, an hour and 20 minutes. Yeah. So there's just, like, okay. It's him talking to himself. It's another lady in the library being like, shut up.
Damn, you want to smoke in a library? Do I?
And so now we're kind of getting into, it's not the climax of the movie, but it's like the meat of the movie.
I thought it was. I thought it was going to be
the
climax.
This is like a big confrontation.
This is like the beginning of the...
Yeah. When the girls break into the department store.
Yeah,
the
so
night.
They've been planning this.
This
like
is a weird
whole...
bit of serendipity because... Mall Santa, who's not really Santa, goes in and he tapes the door because he's like sleeping in the mall at night because he's got nowhere to go because he's been evicted from his Airstream. And the girls show up that night thinking that it's their boyfriends who rigged the door.
No, Kirsten was going to rig the door.
Yeah. Oh,
as she left, she opened the door and grabbed the tape and then went, oh, there's tape already. Okay, and put the tape back and walked out.
They've been planning the whole movie to let these guys in at night.
Right. The whole movie at this point has been like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It felt like 15 hours.
Yes.
They break in and in case anybody who's been listening to this is like, I don't know, do you really think this was an out of touch middle-aged guy writing dialogue for teenage girls? How about when their first line is, meet me in lingerie? Like, okay.
Let's just have some scenes where these girls try on underwear and compliment each other.
Yeah, this just felt like an excuse.
She lifts her shirt and says, what do you think? And shows her bra. And they said, no, red will never do. Let's go to the lingerie department.
No, they said,
I face-palmed.
Dave doesn't like red.
Who's Dave? We've never been introduced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need Art Deco boobs.
Yeah.
He likes those.
And we also get
some triangles.
I think the scariest thing in this movie that is just like essentially a glimpse into this writer-director's mind. So the girls are having a conversation about sex, and they say to Kirsten, this one girl's like, oh, are you going to really do it? And she's like, I don't know. I think I'm going to wait.
And she's then, I'm going to save her someone special.
I'm going to save her someone special. And the other girl...
Oh, my God.
This is chilling.
She really says,
I'd rather just go through with it than get into a confrontation.
Holy
shit. Yeah. She says, like, well, how do you stop them?
That was
like,
so...
Oh, right, yeah, how do you stop
them? That was just so, how do you, so disturbing.
This is like...
That was... Yeah. I mean, that was the real horror in the movie. That was like a perspective. Which again, I'm like, is that what this director is hoping ladies would be thinking? I'm like, what?
I mean, can you try to make it like with the Kirsten girls, like, no. Why would you have such like this girl who was all like talking about sex the whole time? Maybe this would be a moment for like a lesson.
But
if
she
this
really
were a
doesn't.
Better movie.
She just says like you just say no.
Just say no.
And she doesn't really react when her
and
friend
she goes,
says she doesn't
I guess
go,
so.
She doesn't want to get into a confrontation.
Right. Yeah. I was like, oh.
That was really unsettling.
That my jaw dropped at that.
That was indeed, yeah.
Creepiest thing about this movie.
It is the scariest thing in this movie.
I mean, there are times.
And it opens up this whole, I'm sorry to interrupt you, that it gets your mind going like, what is this girl's backstory where she would be in a position where she would think that that's okay to treat herself like that?
There's never a time when that kind of line is okay, but there is also the context of watching this movie in 2018 versus watching this movie in 1989. Like, I didn't get to talk about this when we did Rocky V because I couldn't be there, but the first Rocky is a horrible Me Too relationship. I mean, it is awful, and nobody thinks about it because, when it came out in the 70s, nobody thought about it that way. So maybe there's a little bit of that, but I would really hope that no other movie, even in the 80s, was like this. I mean, that line is not okay. It is absolutely disturbing.
And very disturbing. You're right, because it also goes unchallenged.
Yeah.
Like, Kirsten does not respond to it by being like, whoa. Like, that's, like,
no,
hold on.
You it's know, not treated as something that would be wrong to say in this movie. It's just like...
It's just treated as her being just, like, tomato, tomato.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa.
It's just, that's life.
Yeah. Not good.
And it didn't even need to be there. They could have easily like rewritten the line.
There was no reason. Oh, you know what? The only reason that conversation exists is to establish that Kirsten is a virgin.
Yeah.
You're right.
Absolutely, yeah.
You're right.
But they did not need to go
the conversation
that far
can be
it.
Had without having
without
a girl
line.
Say it's
absolutely.
Okay to let a guy force himself.
Oh, yeah.
On.
Right. Right. And then we find out everyone's in the store. Dan Haggerty's in the store. Nazis are in the store.
Well, the Nazis show up and they kill, because the kids show up. And it's so funny because at some point someone took the tape off the door so the boys couldn't get in. And that one kid, the one boy is like going insane. He was like, I gotta get in here. I gotta get laid.
Yeah.
I assume that was Dave.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Which is
also not how
teenage boys talk.
I was assuming that was the writer director.
Probably. Yeah. So, but then the Nazis show up and they kill the kids.
They do.
The boys. And break into the store.
Yes.
Which we got to see the cat killed on screen, but we don't see the boys killed on screen.
Yeah, yes. That is weird. Yeah, and we see a girl shot execution style
in
the head.
No, we don't.
Well, it cuts,
it cuts away.
Right away.
We see one girl get stabbed.
We do see her get stabbed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do like that the Nazis, before they shot her in the head, asked her, "Where do you come from?" And she doesn't answer, and they shoot her in the head.
Yeah. Was that supposed to be like a reference to, they want to make sure she's not like, if she's pure, they're not going to, pure, quote unquote, they're not going to kill her? To tie in the whole Nazi thing?
I think that I think it was trying to establish that they were looking for Kirsten, but the girl didn't even really answer them, and they're just, I'm sure they were like, I hope that's not Kirsten.
I actually assumed it was like, what floor of the store?
Oh, okay.
What floor are you on? Where are you on?
Thank you. Bam.
There are housewares. Tell me.
What was I going to say? So they break in. Oh, so the alarm's going off in the store. And they're all covering their ears like it's the loudest freaking thing ever. Right. But they're speaking to each other normally. It was like the worst edited
and
thing.
And I really felt like the alarm stopped and they were still all covering
their ears. They were like, yeah.
And everyone's kind of like, Dan Haggerty's now walking around. Like, he's just kind of like, okay, wait, why is an alarm going off? Because we should have mentioned, he also interacted with the girls.
Oh, he meets the girls
and
he says,
they already ran into each other.
We're both not supposed to be here. Let's just not tell anybody that we're here. I'll do my own thing, you do your own thing, and that's it.
Don't steal anything and I won't tell on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
although she's already wearing... One of them's wearing the lingerie. They're putting makeup on. One's wearing a swimsuit.
Maybe he meant, like, don't steal anything.
Don't steal anything more.
Else, wink, wink. Kind of like, I'll let you get away with the outfit.
Yeah.
Don't steal anything that doesn't look cute.
Yeah. Of course.
Stay away from Red, you know? You know what Dave thinks.
Keep watch out for Dave. We then get the longest, dullest shootout in the history of cinema.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's not even a shootout. I don't even know.
It's more like a massacre. Like, there's just shooting. Well, but they're ducking. Like, no one's shooting back.
Well, they're shooting each other, but, like, Dan Haggerty and...
He doesn't have a gun, does he?
And what's the girl's name?
Kirsten.
Just duck behind a counter and proceed to sit behind that counter for, like, 15 minutes, it feels like, with none of the Nazis at any point being like... They don't even realize she's there
when they're shooting at Dan Haggerty.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Then they're like,
wait,
she's there too. Stop shooting.
Right.
Yeah. Also, this store has the worst security ever. Not only are they all in the store at night.
Well, they fired Dan Haggerty.
They just, that's true. Yeah. But they just like slide open a cabinet and take the guns and ammo.
Yeah.
That's disturbing too.
Yeah.
It's a different world 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And Dan Haggerty also sees the elf at one point because in comedic style, that literally an elf head just sort of like pops up almost like shooting gallery style. Like if Dan Haggerty had shot the elf, he would have been like, sorry, I've been working on Hogan's Alley. Like I see an elf pop, a rubber head pop up, I'm going to shoot it.
I was in the air cage for a second.
And this is why this movie is so, it's obviously confusing, but bad too, because like you have, it's called Elves, and you have the shootout between the good guys and Nazis.
Yep.
And then like an elf just like shows up. He's like, oh, the elf's there too, I guess.
An elf just like, pops up, kind of observes.
Yeah, it's like, hey, remember me?
Away.
Yeah. So wait, Haggerty does get a gun then. I don't remember
that.
He steals one from the store.
He steals a store gun and store bullets.
Yeah. I think multiple store guns and store bullets.
I think sitting next
to each other with no locks.
Yeah. And at some point the Nazis are like, hey, I bet the police are coming, so we got to get out of here.
Yeah.
And they leave. And then the police do come and they're grilling Dan Haggerty on like, what the shit, man?
One thing I think we skipped over. I don't understand why the elf killed the friend.
I don't understand that either.
I think
it was just to get another elf killing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, well.
But it seems contrary to...
But as far as what actually, like the actual in-movie reasoning, it doesn't make sense. Because every other attack was motivated by something. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's motivated
by,
protecting
when you think about it. Yeah, yeah.
Kirsten
protecting Kirsten.
Like
yeah, you're right.
So I don't understand why he killed the friend.
But is he protecting Kirsten? I guess.
Well, because the boy was creeping on her, so he terrorizes the boy, but doesn't kill him.
Right.
And then the mall Santa feels her up and he kills him. So at this point, I mean, it makes sense.
Well, he seems to be, like, trying to keep this girl pristine so that, because, you know, the elf is like,
maybe the friends are going to lead her towards
his competition.
Maybe the elf overheard the conversation and was like, ooh, this friend has loose morals.
He doesn't want her to be a bad influence.
I got to kill her.
He needs to be a virgin.
And he starts sucking on her fingers. Is this that scene?
No, he eats her fingers.
Is that what's supposed to be happening? Because that's not what it looked like.
No, it didn't look like that at all because the mask can't move. He just put the fingers in her mouth, but when he took the hand out, two fingers were missing.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that.
He like gummed the fingers off.
Yeah.
And he only ate the fingers.
Because a rat ran by and apparently a rat is a better meal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The rat distracted him. He takes the fingers out of his mouth. I mean, were they afraid that the cannibalism, well, it's not really cannibalism because it's an elf, but were they afraid that that scene would be too dark? So they said, well, let's have
the least scene.
That would have been too dark.
Yeah. Incest.
Let's have him just chase a rat.
Incest gets a green light from us, but cannibalism. Oh,
that's too much. Well, I mean, no, seriously, right? Like, they can't have the elf. What the hell? But if they're going to do the scene anyway, why not just commit to it? They commit to everything else in this movie.
But instead,
only two fingers.
I'm just imagining that meeting. All right, so give me a rundown. What do you got? Let's see. We got a woman drowning a cat in the toilet. All right, next. The main character is actually the product of incest. All right, yeah, keep it going.
Nazis.
Nazis. Yep, fine. Yeah. Uh-huh. Whoa.
what's this? It eats a finger? Cut that shit out.
No. Yeah. Not
a stick. I might accept that at Universal, not here at Triangle Film.
We have standards.
I just assumed that they couldn't figure out a way to get the costume to move enough to eat anything else. They could put the fingers in the mouth and then to do anything else would require some sort of special effect.
Excuse for him not to eat the remains of this corpse when he hasn't shown any inclination towards eating corpse up until this point.
Oh, later on. A rat.
Okay, stock footage.
Later on, the elf expert does say that they eat anything.
That's true. Okay. They're like goats. I actually wanted the guy to say they're like goats.
So Kirsten goes home at this point, and her mother is being a jerk to her, and she's like, "My friends died," and her mother just doesn't like believe her.
I killed your cat.
I can't remember what it was, but
you also get the amazing scene when the real police come up and start talking to Dan Haggerty when they're like, "What is going on here?" There's like two dead girls. One of them shot in the head. And the police say to him, they go, "All right, you have 24 hours, pal. Is that enough time?"
"I don't know." "Well, it better be."
I'm like, he doesn't even seem to be looking for this deal.
The cops are giving him 24 hours to crack the case.
Yes, a random crack
the case. He's like, "What case?"
He's a former detective. He is a former store.
He's off the reservation. He's not.
Yeah.
No. Chris Kringle crime solvers.
And then, isn't this the scene where the store owner is blaming Kirsten? "I should fire you for these deaths."
Yeah.
And she's like, "Who's gonna clean the blood up? We gotta make some sales for Chris."
And she's like, "What? I'm getting fired for having my friends murdered?"
Also, at this point, doesn't he say Christmas Eve is tomorrow, but then it seems to be Christmas Eve already? I was confused about the timeline.
Day and night in this movie seem to not be our reality.
We don't think about those things in the elves' world.
Yeah. Because it's not, you're right, like, and it doesn't match the timing of like when things are dark and when they're saying time has passed. I think some days have more than one sunset in the elf world. So Dan Haggerty comes to Kirsten's house because I guess he has 24 hours to solve this. And
he was dropping her off.
Oh, he's dropping her off. Yeah. And then
it's the goodest place to start as any.
And the mom is like awful and you got to get out of here. But then the grandfather's like, "Tell me about that elf or that troll you saw." In which Dan Haggerty immediately turns to him and is like, "Hey, you seem to know what's going on here." I'm like, "Does he? He asked you one question about a troll." And he's... But it then prompts him.
To be fair, he does learn a lot in this 24 hours, starting from not knowing a thing.
Right. He goes back to the library.
Yeah. And yet, he doesn't actually question any of it.
No, he's
everything is accepted. She says she saw a troll. Well, didn't he see it at this point?
He did. He did. He briefly saw it.
But if you saw a strange creature, would you immediately accept that it's an elf that was bred? Sort of summoned something by
if
Nazis.
If Nazis were shooting at me at the same time, then I would probably...
He doesn't necessarily know they are Nazis.
Yeah.
Well, there's the whole German bad guy with a gun, assumption, but...
Yeah. And he goes to see a special librarian who's an expert in occult stuff.
And hates his in-laws, so he's glad to be working extra hours on Christmas Eve, which, as Christy just said... It's not Christmas Eve because it's the day before Christmas Eve.
Supposedly, maybe.
Yeah, it doesn't.
But
this is Christmas Eve.
The other professor is also having Christmas Eve dinner.
Yeah, this is definitely Christmas Eve.
So the store manager has his days wrong. He's going to be really disappointed when no one shows up at the store on what he thinks is Christmas Eve, but really it's Christmas.
He's probably
that would be a funny way to end the movie. Tell you the truth.
Just him sitting in the store waiting for customers.
You have the weather outside is frightful. And he's just like sitting there like. Like angry, like on the Santa chair, and like nobody's here. It's Christmas Eve, and like the calendar's wrong.
I bet that actor's like, "My storyline was never resolved." I liked how that librarian knows everything. All Dan Haggerty does is be like, "Hey, do you know anything about this symbol?" And then that guy just starts vomiting information in Aaron Sorkin style walk and talk around the whole library. To the point where Dan Haggerty's like, I didn't really, I guess there's no follow-ups necessary. You've just given me everything I need.
Yeah, because he hands him a book at one point, and I don't even think he opens the book. And he just hands it back because he's like, "Oh, you told me everything I need to know." So
yeah.
Because, and he's like, "Oh, well, who'd really know more about this is Professor So-and-so." And
And you should go to his house.
I like how he thinks about it. He's like, it's Christmas Eve, so he would be at home.
Yeah.
All right. He would be in the arms of his lover on 48th Street.
Yeah. And intercut with this is when the big revelation is happening for Kirsten at her home. When she's like, I wish Dad was here. And her mom is like, Chinatown. Why don't you go talk to him? And she's like, what are you talking about?
Dead.
She's like, your dad's in the living room. Or in the study. She's like, no, my grandfather's in the study.
Your grandfather is your grandfather and your father.
Well, you get, this is the what she, the mom goes, the man in the study is your dad and your grandfather. Cue music. Da, da, da.
It's like, impossible.
Yeah. Thank you for that cue. Yeah. And at this point, I'm like, my notes just turn into like, what? Like, because this is where they reveal the Nazis are experimenting with elves as assassination
teams. And this is what we're talking. This train is on the bottom of the ocean. It's so far from the rails.
This is what we're talking about with this movie escalating throughout the entire film.
Yeah,
where you don't think anything else can surprise you, and then they bring up incest.
They bring up incest, Nazi elf assassination teams. The pre goes to see Dan Haggerty, like,
well, busts we should talk about this.
He, like, breaks into this guy's dinner.
And he's, like, totally willing to, like, and again, he really loves bargaining for time. Give me 1 minute. Give me 1 minute. Give me 2 minutes. Give me 1 minute. Like, with 1 minute, I'm gone.
And the housekeeper is, like, the referee, where the guy's like, call the cops. All right, hold on. Hold on. Wait. You know? Yeah.
Yes.
And Dan Haggerty, by the way, is if nothing not honorable, when the minute is up, he's already out.
He's gone.
Yeah, and the guy's like, you're out of time. So this guy goes into this, he gives this crazy theory about Nazi elf assassination teams and elf master races. And at one point, the cutaway.
His wife's just looking at him going, what kind of man did I marry?
And the kids.
When they do the cutaway to the kids.
Just sitting there watching their father talk about an elf mating with a pureblood virgin.
This is just like Thanksgiving.
I would be like, we need a new family stat, you know.
We're reporting ourselves to CPS.
Yeah. So then this is where he's driving back, right? And he's like, I had to rewind the scene to see what was happening. So he's driving back and somebody's following him in another car.
Yeah.
And he's goes to light his cigarette with the cigarette lighter in the car. And it's not working. So he puts it back and starts pounding on the console, on the dash. And a bundle of like dynamite with a clock on it comes out from under the console.
At this moment, I thought to myself, did I watch another YouTube version with missing scenes? Where did this thing come from?
And I just want to, let's put ourselves in that situation. You see a cartoon Acme bomb fall out of your glove department. Do you A, grab that bomb, throw it out the window, or B, throw yourself out of the car?
Option B, please.
Yes. So he jumps out of the car.
They actually blow this car up. Yeah. I thought it was going to be a crappy miniature.
Yeah, they blew up a car.
That's the budget of the movie right there.
That's the entire budget of the movie.
But you can see, you can tell it kind of blew up a little too early too, because it like blows off like off frame, and then the girl's in the frame. They must have been like, oh no.
We only had one shot.
Yeah.
And the Nazi's standing there waiting to watch the car blow up.
He's watching the car burn, and then Dan Haggerty just like pops up out of the other side of the frame and like beats him to death, I think.
With that great line, is that elf yours? How many teeth have you got?
I'm like, yes,
how
no
is
sense.
That relevant?
How about because now? Because it's sad to know this is kind of like the James Bond thing where like the double agent has the cyanide capsule in his teeth. Cause
is that what it was?
He starts frothing at the mouth.
Because like I wasn't
the cyanide capsule in his teeth.
I
literally drew that.
Really?
Oh, when I saw the cyanide, or when I saw the frothing at the mouth, I'm like, oh, okay, he has a cyanide capsule.
It's a typical movie. It's in the tooth.
Right, but why would Dan Haggerty ask how many teeth do you have?
Because he was knocking his teeth out. He punched me. He said, how many teeth do you have? He punched me. He said, how about now?
Did he say, how about now? Yeah, yeah. I never
I thought he was saying, don't swallow your cyanide capsule.
No. I
because how would he know that? But I don't care at this point, so why not just have him know?
After 24 hours of occult study, I just assumed it was numerology related.
Has it been 24 hours? Is his time up, or does he still have 24 hours left? We don't know what day it is.
Because
it is
negative
night. It's
so
night like, now.
Yeah,
he's negative
he has
seven
to get his sleigh ready to deliver presents.
Yeah.
Gotta get
and at the same time, the grandfather is explaining to Kirsten, like, this not like.
This was In addition to the don't put up a fight, just go with it line, this is the other most incredibly disturbing line of...
I wrote it down.
She was passed out. It was okay.
I would never harm my daughter. She was drugged, unconscious. I didn't take any pleasure in it. He even says, my God.
He even goes, it was not traumatic for her at all.
Yeah, clearly. She's
drugged and unconscious.
She's become a sociopath, what kills cats and torments her daughter. And then clearly she's fine.
And then I remember that she was like 15 or 16 when this happened, too.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's even...
And the fact that he's just like, no, it was fine. Yeah. It was fine. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
She was asking for it. She was drugged.
Yeah.
Oh, that pretty much that's what
The moral of this film is, by the way.
And I'm open to interpretations on this, I don't understand the mom's final scene because it seems like the mom goes nuts.
I don't get it either.
And she's like smearing lipstick on her
face.
I thought she was going to write a message on the mirror, but... It never went back to what she wrote on the mirror. I think she just mushed her lipstick against the mirror.
Yeah.
So I want to say, this is bizarre because typically in a horror movie, especially from the 80s, you have some nudity.
Yeah.
But typically it's one of your younger female characters.
Not the mom.
Not the 50-something-year-old mother.
Yeah.
I know she's supposed to be younger in the movie.
She didn't look bad. Come on.
I mean, she's fine, but it just seems weird that the one nude scene you have in your movie is like a full frontal of the mother.
Who's
a total bitch throughout the whole movie.
And it's a death scene, which is a little like, what?
Right.
Like, if this is, did this director find this sexy? Like, a woman in, not just in peril, but like in the point of being electrocuted? Yeah. Like, that's
the more
we
extrapolate about this director, I think that it's probably what it was.
Yeah.
That might be.
Yeah.
Do we know where this director is now? Or what else he's done? Right now.
Nope. Hold on. Do not, because guess what's coming up? It's so wrong, it's right.
There is nothing right about
this. Which federal facility?
Directed by Harvey Weinstein.
We do get the line where the Kirsten and her brother get back together and he goes, are we going to be okay? And she goes, no, Grandpa's a Nazi.
That was my other option for a quote.
Another Christmas ruined.
A rapist, Nazi, incestuous bastard.
Yeah, so the mother's in the bathtub and the elf shows up and like throws a radio. Oh, because she's listening to the radio.
Yeah, which as soon as she drew the bath and then turned on the radio, I'm like, oh, the elf is going to dump the radio in the bathtub.
Yeah. Why do people precariously put radios next to bathtubs?
Can I just say something? It's a Christmas-themed horror movie. Why is it not a Christmas song?
Yeah.
I mean, I know the rights are a thing, but you can find some public domain
really
one.
It's really a Christmas-themed horror movie. That's the thing about it.
It takes place at Christmas and it has an elf as a main character.
But it's not even really an elf. He's a, you know what I mean? It's like,
and you do
if he was dressed up as like an elf, it'd be one thing.
I was shocked that Dan Haggerty only has one scene. He's in a Santa suit.
He's Santa for like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
He gets peed on.
He should have been in like the whole time. Like he was at work when this happened. Something happened.
And he's still
like
in the costume.
Right.
Yeah.
But so, and I laughed here because, so the elf throws the radio in the bathtub, electrocutes the mother, the lights in the house go out. And I think, I can't remember if the elf is doing something to them or whatever, but the sister, or Kirsten and the brother are in the house, and Dan Haggerty comes like busting through the front door, and a shot of Kirsten looking down the stairwell, she goes, Santa? It was like, it was so ridiculous. I forgot that she was calling him Santa at first, so I thought for a second, she just thought like, it's Christmas Eve, Santa's here.
Yeah.
Well, the brother really thinks for a second that Santa is there.
I was confused by that, because at one point the brother goes, he's like, do you think we're not going to get a lot of presents this year? There's not a lot under the tree. So I'm like, okay, obviously he doesn't believe in Santa. But then later on, he's like, he does say something about, oh, is Santa here? Something like that. So he does believe in Santa. So I was like, well, it's a dumb point. But that was like something in my head that was...
Of the things like, wrong in this movie, that's way down the list.
Right.
Of the psychological issues that brother is facing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's this whole sequence that like was pretty dull for me of like Nazis in the house and there's like fighting and
but at one point they find the mother in the bathtub, Dan Haggerty and the kids, and the little boy's like, is she gonna be okay? And he's like, yeah, she's gonna be fine. No, she's not gonna be okay.
Just to remind everybody, we're talking about a real movie that was actually made and released in theaters.
If you saw it in theaters, please let us know.
And also seek counseling if you saw this in theaters.
So then they're gonna leave the house, and then the Nazis bust in, right?
Right.
And they start fighting with Dan Haggerty.
Yeah, and but then Kirsten and at some point Dan Haggerty says to Kirsten to the brother, like, get out of here.
Yeah.
And Kirsten is looking at this weird red rock or thing it's that like her grandfather is playing with.
Amulet or a jewel or something.
Because the grandfather has mentioned some stuff. He's like, oh, you know how to defeat the elf, and it has something to do with this drawing. And at one point he shows them that because one of them finds like a pin with that symbol on it.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I know what that is. And he like takes the picture that she had drawn and like draws a swastika over the boobs.
The Art Deco boobs become swastika boobs.
But the symbol wasn't a swastika, so I don't understand.
There's no connection at all. He said that symbol was the original party symbol.
Right. But I don't know how that
morphed into a swastika, apparently.
I just don't know how that equated to him drawing
clearly they got their pattern.
He was proving to Kirsten that this is part of her. Because, see, you're dreaming of these swastika boobs.
I mean, I can draw swastikas on anything, though. I can draw swastikas on his nose right now and be like, you're a Nazi, Alex.
This is the same logic the military used to the giant claw to figure out the pattern of where the monster was attacking. It's just, you know, oh, we connect these dots, and it's a pattern!
Yeah. So then...
But Kirsten's, like, clearly thinking about taking that red going thing.
Well, because he says
Dan
something.
He's like, get out of here!
Yeah, because he's like, the answer's inside you or something, and he says, I think,
he whispers something to her that we don't hear.
Yeah. Yeah. Somehow he gets her attention on the crutch
Grandpa
or whatever.
Said oral. Yeah.
And then
that is just, given the situation, that is so wrong.
And then he gets killed by one of the Nazis. So then she grabs his crystal and runs.
Grandfather?
No, she doesn't. Yeah. Well, she doesn't grab the crystal. No, she leaves. She's looking at the crystal.
The little brother comes back for it.
She's looking at the crystal. I was totally in it. Because Dan Haggerty's like, get out of here.
Go, and they leave without it.
Then Dan Haggerty fights a bunch of Nazis.
Then the elf starts rubbing up on her, and that's when she says, oh, go get that.
because the elf is chasing them in this
very
small
motion chase.
Well,
they got lost in the woods and seem to be running forever, but then it's really quick for him to find his way back to the house and back to her.
Yeah.
So that was also weird. But I was a lot disturbed, but thinking, okay, maybe it's the quality of the version that I'm watching. I couldn't tell if she was pushing away the elf hand or leading the elf hand.
So this scene was confusing because it seemed like the elf was
very
going... It's
uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I was confused with what happened at this point because the quality of the quality of it was bad and it was confusing anyways. But yeah, like, it looks like the elf's like trying to kill her and then he stops.
He's not trying to kill her.
The elf
well, not
like,
kill her, but yeah, he's like attacking her.
He's trying to do something.
The elf is like Harvey Weinsteining her. Like, he's like creeping on her.
But it's
her,
like they have like this weird moment where like, yeah, then it's like not... It was just the way they did it was super weird and I didn't understand what was happening.
It wasn't like on some level clear where she... Christy's right. Like, she doesn't seem to be like...
She's not really fighting. Oh, she did.
Fighting it.
She tripped and hurt her ankle. So that's why she can't get up and run away.
Okay.
The old trip and twist.
Right. But it's a really, really weird and uncomfortable scene where it's not really... She's not exactly fighting him.
And the elf at one point offers her a bug, like a gentleman.
That's what's good because he's like attacking her and then he like stops. And there's like this weird like moment like that where it's like...
Yeah.
And then I guess the brother comes back with the crystal.
The brother comes back in, then Dan Haggerty's like in his low energy way is like, hey, take this to your sister. The thing that she was going to take, and I told her not to.
Right.
No, you should take it to your sister. And the brother brings this glowing red thing. And
now she's trying to get away from the elf all of a sudden.
Yeah. And it's, and there's a crazy shot where she's crawling alongside the elf.
The elf is right next to her, moving so slowly.
Yeah. and she does stab the elf with the red thing, and the elf
blows up. I thought she stabbed the forest where he's...
Stab something.
Something
on the ground.
Okay, that would explain
why the forest like blows up.
Yeah, why? Because the forest is burned down the next morning.
Yeah.
But yeah, it blows up, and then we see there's an elf baby.
There's like this weird there's this elf.
That's like the
did it get her pregnant?
The woods are burned down. And it's like ashes falling, and she's like, "Look, it's snowing." Like this weird
I thought it really was snowing.
I think it was ashes because like the woods blew.
I do think it was like irony. Like it's snow.
Yeah.
Like this dark ending.
It's Christmas and there's snow. There's hope for the world.
It was like a weird dark. Yeah,
I thought it was like a dark twist on that.
So then it cuts to
which this movie
the credits
deserve that kind of a.
which are irony. Over a shot of like a sonogram of like an elf baby in a uterus.
So are they saying that the elf succeeded and then she decided to stab the ground?
That's what it seemed like.
I think that's what they're saying is that like...
Sequel.
Yeah. Which...
And I still don't understand why they thought to cast Will Ferrell on the sequel.
Yeah.
I don't even see how they connect.
It's weird. It's just such a strange way to advance that story. Yeah.
Especially to go backwards from plural to single.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have...
I want to focus the story a little more.
I have a whole bunch of So Wrong It's Right, but I do want to do one loved it. I went on IMDb, and most of the reviews on IMDb are like, this movie is, you know, like, so bad it's good. There are people who like laughing at this movie. There is one review from Cannibal Dan Corpse Haggerty. Grinder. Oh, yes. That it didn't. They gave it a 7 out of 10.
Needs to eat more fingers.
Yeah, and the title is a little flawed, but acceptable.
Okay.
And I'm gonna read.
That's yours. Arguments.
I'm gonna read the first couple lines of it.
Give him a shot.
After performing a ceremony in a graveyard, a group of teenage girls find themselves being stalked by a race of elves summoned by a Nazi scientist looking to create a master race. And inbreeding one of them with the elves, and must find a way to stop it. It's a fair amount of factual.
It's also not very factual. Yeah.
Now here comes the review.
Okay.
This here was quite a decent enough effort. One of the better elements for this one is the fact there's quite a pronounced and distinctive atmosphere present here that runs throughout. Starting with
the grim vibes and disturbingness.
Yeah. Mm. Starting
with what's Andy's
starting with the manner of how they managed to resurrect the creatures in the first place, and the chilling cemetery scene in the opening sequence, there's a strong series of suspenseful stalking scenes throughout the first half, showing the elves' point of view scurrying along after their potential victims.
Was there a cemetery in this movie?
I don't think there's any cemetery.
There's also no elves, plural.
Yeah, there's no elves, plural. So I feel
she
like...
She also was not... There was no incest with the elf. There was incest that was going to lead to the elf breeding.
So did Dan Haggerty write the movie?
I know, yeah. Someone who kind of watched the movie? I don't... Yeah. So the writer-director... is attached to just a couple other low-budget things, like nothing particularly notable. But he was attached to a TV show where 48 episodes were produced and co-starred Patrick McNee in several of them, titled Super Force.
What?
And I'm going to give you the description of this show that started in 1991. This seems to be a consistent description because I found it on another page, too.
Nazis.
Super Force. In the year 2020, an astronaut... an astronaut becomes a vigilante when he returns from a mission to learn his cop brother has been murdered. That is...
I would watch that.
That is...
If it's got Patrick McNee, I'm on it.
Yeah. All right, so two wrong, it's right questions. The first one is, an actress in this movie was once engaged to a household name TV news personality. Who wants to take a
household
guess?
Name?
I'm going to say...
I would say recent, like, especially in the 90s. In the 90s and through 2010, this person
Matt
would have
Lauer.
A household name.
I'm saying Matt Lauer.
MSNBC instead of NBC.
I can't give away anything.
My guess is Matt Lauer.
All right. Well, and which actress?
Oh, which actress in the film?
Yeah,
I can't remember anybody.
I'm
going to
say the actress who played Kirsten.
Okay.
I don't know.
It's a tricky one.
I'm going to say the mother.
Okay.
And I'll go with Brian Williams.
Okay.
I was going to say the mom and Peter Jennings.
Ooh. That's a quality guess.
Wasn't he dead before 2010?
I think so, which is why I'm not going to go with Peter. I'm going Brian Williams also.
Brian Williams was a household name well beyond 2010.
Okay.
And so was Matt Lauer.
The mom, Dina Lund, who is, other than this movie, best known from Land of the Giants, that old TV show, oh, okay. was engaged to Larry King.
Larry oh, wow. King!
Nice. Yes.
Wow!
They got engaged. What years? 1995. They got
so
engaged.
She thought, Elf, I haven't seen you since we did that. It was a tremendous meet cute. She thought it was the elf.
Yeah.
Uh huh. Because there's a resemblance.
Yeah. And creepy.
Yes.
Now, this is my other favorite one. And you guys are a little younger. I don't know if you remember. Do you guys, any of you guys remember the Grizzly Adams TV show that Dan Haggerty
was in? I know
of it.
You
kind of know
of it.
Only via
Conan O'Brien.
Okay. Yeah, that's...
I'm aware of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I didn't know about this until I was looking at Dan Haggerty's Wikipedia for this film. So he was best known for Grizzly Adams, but there was a weird short stretch where Grizzly Adams was canceled. But weirdly, Dan Haggerty and the rest, some of the other cast members from Grizzly Adams, did another show which was shockingly similar. I'm going to give you four titles. One of these is from a real show that Dan Haggerty did episodes of on a hiatus from Grizzly Adams. Uh-huh. Sierra Sam, Rocky Mountain Roy, Frontier Fremont, or Mountain Marshall. One of these is a real
I'm
going
to say Rocky Mountain Roy. I like the R alliteration.
Say Mountain Marshall.
Okay.
I'll go with whatever was the F one then.
Frontier Fremont.
Frontier Fremont.
Well, what the hell then? I got to go with Sierra Sam.
Frontier Fremont. Oh, in a hiatus from being... And he was known to everyone as Grizzly Adams. He just showed up in another show as Frontier Fremont. Clearly... Oh, I felt a little bad for Dan Haggerty when I read that. I was like, oh, that's sad. All right, let's do a Is It So Bad It's Good? Nick, why don't you start?
Give me a chance to rewatch this with a six pack. Going into it, knowing what I know now, and I would like a chance to reevaluate this first.
Yeah, because it's that level. It's a level of insanity not matched in many other films, if any.
You kind of got to know what you're getting into before you get into what it turns out.
Yes.
But I could definitely see myself saying, it's so bad, it's good.
Christy?
No. I think this is the worst movie I've ever seen in my entire life.
I will say it is easily the worst made we've seen for this podcast.
I would agree with that.
And I mean, I've watched a lot fewer movies for the podcast than you guys have. This is easily the worst. This is one of those movies where during it, I was like, why did I decide to be part of this podcast? If I wasn't, I wouldn't have to watch this.
It aspires for the heights of Witchboard.
Yeah, this makes you, for the daylight hijinks of Witchboard, Jack.
I have seen films that were far worse than this one. I've seen many films that were far worse than this one, unfortunately. I think it is so bad it's good, save for those small handfuls of, like, true Disturbia that just kind of reach out to you. The slap, the girl who says it's okay to let a man rub up on you, it was okay, she was knocked out, she was my daughter, she was asking for it, like, that's not okay.
Is he Russian now?
Those three things, I'm sorry, I'm off my accent.
Boris Badenov was the grandfather.
With the exception of those few things, it is so bad it's good. It's just every now and then there's a,
moments of,
this
like,
disturbing, like, there's
like a
some
cold water just kind of gets thrown on you, so I'm like, oh, that was too real and creepy.
Because of those, I'm reluctant to say it's so bad it's good, but I'm almost reluctant to say it's so bad it's good, but it is so bad it's good, in my opinion.
And Cody?
I would say, just for the Santa said oral line, this movie is so bad it's good. I don't think it's up there with the worst ones we've done, but I don't think it is the worst one we've done.
It's up there. It's right up there. I want to say yes because I laughed a lot at it, but there is an undercurrent of genuinely, like, the trivialization of, like, sexual trauma that this movie does is genuinely troubling. Like, it's funny. Like, I laughed at this movie a lot, but it also made me be like, ooh. Like,
a lot of cringe.
There are parts of those laughs were followed
by cringes.
Yeah. There are a lot of parts that felt like it took itself too seriously. Or there was, like, too serious. There was trying to be too serious with some stuff.
Yeah.
And they could have just been totally goofy with it, but...
Yeah. And it really, like we're making jokes like, oh, this guy, the FBI should have looked into this guy. Like, no, the seriously, FBI should have looked into this guy. But it did make me laugh a lot. I mean, I'm still laughing thinking about that cop being like, "You've got 24 hours to figure it out. Is that enough time?" I don't know.
I think he was more shocked the cop even made the offer. Like, I wasn't expecting this.
Yeah.
What were the consequences of that offer? Like, you have 24 hours they didn't or what?
I guess they took
that. Or you don't solve the case in 24 hours.
You're off the force.
24 hours.
Again. When we start doing our job.
Yeah.
I think my favorite thing about that line, too, is they said time like three times in the same. It's like. He's like, I need some time. How much? You got 24 hours. Is that enough time? I don't know if that's enough time. It's like, stop saying time.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, am I going to watch it again? Maybe. I don't know. Like this
Christmas comes once a year, so.
Maybe. Yeah. Or else I might just get too creeped out watching it the second time. We'll have to see. Time will tell.
Sorry, kids. No, it's a wonderful life this year.
This is not a wonderful
new tradition.
Life.
Elves.
Kirstie does not have a wonderful life.
Yeah, no. This no, she does not. She needs an angel's assistance very badly. Mm-hmm. And a shelter.
Merry Christmas, Nazi elf.
Where's that horny Christmas elf? A horny Christmas Nazi elf. All right. Well, I don't know if it'll be as crazy as this. We'll be back soon with another movie. Mm-hmm. We've got a couple in the pipeline. And we'll see you next time. All right, bye.